You have your copy of God's Word, if you please turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, be taking our text from. You will need to keep your Bibles handy this morning. We're going to be referring to a lot of Scripture. So keep it handy. And when you get there, Proverbs 14, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And here the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I'm praying now that you help me for just a few minutes, God. Lord, thank you for the service thus far, but God, we need your help. We need to be anointed from heaven, be able to preach on this text, that you'll be glorified. Keep me out of the way, Father. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, this passage of Scripture that we just read is echoed again in the Proverb. Proverbs 16:25 tells us the same thing. Only one word changed there a little bit in our King James Bible. And the one we read, it said, "There is a way which seemeth right." And in Proverbs 16:25, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right." Well, we can look at it in both, either way. It means the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. And that's our thought this morning, the way that seemeth right. You see, we seem to think a lot of things in this life, a lot of things that are not so. But anytime you see something such as this repeated in the Bible, you need to pay attention. God's trying to tell us something. He didn't just put it in there to fill up space. It's not in there just because he thought it would look good. He put it in there so that we would say, "Hey, I believe I've seen that before." And so we see that over and we see it again, and it's God trying to get your attention. That's why we have the several Gospels. It's not just one Gospel in there. We see several of them that tell the same story, the old story about how the Lord came and He saved us. But one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture is the fact that God does not hide or keep hidden the fact that the way that He thinks and the way that we think are completely different. His thoughts and our thoughts don't match up. His ways and our ways don't match up. We think we are so smart these days. Man today looks at himself, exalts himself, looks up and says, "I am so smart." Well, as we studied this morning in Sunday school, all it took was God confounding their language to make them realize, you know what, we're not so smart. But boy, they thought they were until that happened. Well, God doesn't hide anything from us. And so our way of thinking, our way of doing things are different than God's. And those two things are going to battle each other. You see, man has a problem today, that sin nature, that carnal flesh that we have, and we're constantly in a battle with the things that are spiritual, but yet we have the carnal things, and so they're always butting heads together. And so we need a mind change. We need a brain operation. We need a heart change. We need our ways changed. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55:8-9, the prophet writes, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, God's trying to tell us something here, isn't he? I mean, his ways, he says, are much higher than our ways. You know how our ways are? Our ways are down low. Our ways are wicked ways. Our ways are carnal ways. And his thoughts exceed way above our thoughts, and they're very different than the way we think. Our thoughts today, most men's thoughts today are in the gutter. Most men's thoughts today are steeped in sin, but not God's thoughts. His thoughts are high. They're holy. They're exalted. They're lifted up. The psalmist says this in Psalm 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations." You see, God has his heart has thoughts as well. Our heart has thoughts, but the Bible says our hearts are wicked. It's deceivable. And so God's way of thinking is very different. But what are God's thoughts? Well, we saw right there in Psalm 33:11 that God's thoughts are to all generations. It says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." So his thoughts, his counsel, his purpose, his advice to man today are to follow his counsel. That's what his thoughts are about. The psalmist says this in Psalm 40:5. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy works which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If you look, I'm going to give you one more verse here as I'm trying to show you something. And if you pay attention, you're going to find there's something in these verses that's peculiar. Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end." In all three of those verses we just read, there's one dominant thought that God has for us in there. And every single time we find He's referring to us. God is thinking about you, is what the Bible's saying. He's thinking about us. And so, every generation, He said, He's thinking about all of us. And we often say that sometimes when Christ was hanging on the cross, you know, and He looked ahead in time and He saw us, that good song we sing, you know. And while He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And I believe that. I believe that every one of us is on God's mind when He hung on that cross, when the Lord Jesus hung there and died and bled for us. I believe every single one of us was in His mind. You see, God's mind's different than ours. We can only retain so much. And then it gets overloaded. And I don't know where it goes after that. They claim that everything that you ever think is imprinted on the back of your brain. If you could only access it, you could pull it up. I wish I knew how to do that. But most of the time our brains get cluttered and they get confused and they get filled up and we don't know what we're doing. But not God's. God's is very clear. And He knows every single thought that's in our head. He's the one that can pull up your thoughts that's imprinted on the back of your mind. Well, God is thinking, His thoughts are toward us. It's a to us word. The Bible says in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world. You see, God was always thinking about the world. He didn't create man just for His amusement. Some people think, well, God created man and, you know, just put us out there for to be His little puppets. No, He didn't. God created man, and by the way, man is the greatest creation that God ever created. And He put more time, God's very breath breathed life into man. It's His greatest creation. He loves man. And so, God thinks about man. Listen to what the Bible says in Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." How many gods do you know today that would rejoice over you with singing? There's only one. The Lord God Jehovah, the Lord God of heaven. God the Father is the only one that's going to rejoice over you with singing. And so God's thoughts, He loves us and His thoughts are toward us. But what about our thoughts? We've already established from God's Word, our thoughts are not like His. Our thoughts are low and sinful and carnal, but not God's. God's is high and holy. But what about our thoughts? Our thoughts are usually self-centered, self-sufficient. We know it all. It's the me, myself, and I generation. It's the selfie generation. It's a self-absorbed selfie world that we live in today. It's a viral video world that we live in today. I talked about that some this morning in Sunday school. It seems that everybody today wants a viral video so they can get millions of viewers on YouTube. And I don't know if they're trying to make money or what they're doing. They want to be seen. People want to be seen today. I work in downtown Knoxville and I look out my window and see people going down the sidewalks, clicking themselves, their selfies, they're standing on the corners. This weekend, a lot of people were going to the prom, and so they all come downtown to take pictures in a nasty alleyway. I don't get that, but they do. They go in the alleyways, and they paint graffiti on the walls and then take their picture, you know, for the prom. But people are always wanting for everybody to see them. It's about me. This world's about me. And so our thoughts are self-centered. They're toward us. They're also on us. On us ourselves, and not God most of the time. I mean, we're self-centered, we're conceited, we're self-absorbed. Everything about us is stingy. But God, His thoughts are not like that. He's not thinking about Himself. He's thinking about you. Psalm 94:11, the Bible says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Vanity. That word right there means empty, useless, unwise, foolish is what that means. Somebody that you know, you may hear somebody called, oh, they're so vain. In other words, they're wrapped up in themselves, and that's about all they can care for. Self-centered. They're foolish. Men think they're so smart, but the Bible says contrary to that. Over in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says this, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." Do you see that? Evil thoughts. That's where our evil thoughts come, from our very own heart. And then it goes on to list 12 other sins: adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And listen to this, in verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's not what goes in that defiles the man, it's what comes out. It's down in your heart. It's wicked. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Young people, be very careful when somebody says, "I love you with all my heart." Who can know? Who can know? That heart's wicked and evil. Deceitful. Well, here again we see that our thoughts are different than God's thoughts, and they proceed out of our heart, our evil thoughts. And then those 12 sins. I mean, God lines those 12 sins of the awful things. I mean, that whole list, murderers even, He puts it on the same level of having evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. There's so many evil thoughts today. All it takes is for you to look around this world for just a minute, and you're going to find that everybody's thinking evil. They're inventing evil things to carry out evil deeds. All their works are evil. It's wicked. And so it comes from man's heart. Let's face it, folks, our hearts are wicked. You would think after all these years that man would have evolved into something much smarter. And they believe they have. Man today says, "I'm the smartest. This is the smartest generation that's ever existed on the face of the earth." No, we're the dumbest. You know why? Because we don't fear God. We don't fear God. The Bible says that's where the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God and wisdom. And so man has quit fearing God. Man doesn't fear God. And so therefore he's become nothing but foolish. And we've invented things, sure. There's a lot of brilliant men today. There's a lot of men with a high IQ. They say Kim Jong-un has one of the highest IQs of any man. So what does that tell you? So listen, you can be smart, but you can be dumb as a rock as well, because you don't have any fear of God. And your thoughts are not God's thoughts. They're very short of that. Well, our opening text back in Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, our biggest problem is what we think seems to be right. It seems to be. I remember back in the day of Judges, men were doing whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. And what became of them? Yeah, wasn't good, was it? The way seems right. So it seems it ought to be this way. It seems that this is the best thing for my life. It seems that I ought to do this or I ought to do that. It seems that way. A lost sinner seems to think that they ought to give in to their animal lust and commit their sins. They seem to think that, but you know what? The way of the end of it is death, is what the Bible says. The sodomite, it seems like they ought to give in to their animal compassions and lust with someone of the same sex. It seems that way to them, but that's not true. The end thereof are the ways of death. The drug addict, it seems to him he needs another hit, another shot, another pill. Something else, he needs that. He thinks he does. It seems like he does. But he doesn't need that, because the end of that thereof is death. He don't need that. The alcoholic, he seems to think he needs another bottle. Bud doesn't make you any wiser, friends. He seems to think that he does. He seems to think he needs a shot. He seems that he needs to go into a bar. He seems to think he needs to hang around with other people that drink. But he does not need that. You know why? Because the end of it, therefore, is death. The religionist seems to think that he needs to do his religious routines. Seems to think that. He seems to think that if I can live a good life and work hard and do things, it seems to me that I ought to be assured a place in heaven. Brother Plott was talking the other day when we observed the Jewish Passover demonstration of how they see things on a scale, that if they can do enough good things, then it'll balance out all the bad things that they do. It seems that way, but it's not true, because the end thereof is death, the Bible says. So the ways that seem right in our mind are completely wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Listen, our own thoughts, our own mind, our own ways are foolish. They're foolish. That's why we're told this in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Too many people today are leaning unto their own understanding. We need to lean unto God's understanding, to God's ways, to God's thoughts, to the way that is right in God's eyes. Not only are our thoughts not God's thoughts, but our ways are not God's ways. We find also in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This word ways means your manner, your habit, your custom, your course, how you do things, what you're known for. You know, somebody may say, well, that's the way he is. You may try to put off this thing and say, that's just the way I am. And that's the way you act, your course, your manner, the way people know you from. Oh, yeah, that's the way he is, or that's the way she is. Well, our opening text in Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. Listen, your way is a deadly way. God's way is assurance in heaven. So our way is not right, and our way leads to death. That's been established in the Bible. And we may ask ourselves, well, what is the way that we need to go? Well, that one's an easy one. I find that God's ways are found in His commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and fear Him. You see that? So God commands His people. I know we're talking in Deuteronomy. Everybody says, oh, that's the Old Testament. That's under the law. We don't have to do that and do this. Oh, friends, come on. This is God's thoughts here. And God says that we need to walk in His ways. If you notice throughout all the portals of history, everybody that decided to walk out of God's ways and walk in their own ways have been destroyed. Look at the Roman Empire. Did anybody ever think that that place would ever... They never thought that they'd be destroyed. They never thought that they would be an end to them, but there was. All the world empires that's ever been throughout all of history, they've all crumbled. They've all fell. Why? Because they went their way. They didn't go God's way. Well, listen, we think about the commandments. Everybody says, well, we need to obey the Ten Commandments. And we go through the list in Exodus 20. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven images. We go on down the list of all the ten. And while we do need to observe these Ten Commandments, those, and they're all God's ways, there's much more in God's Word that shows us what His ways are. Not just the Ten Commandments. For example, loving our neighbor as ourself. That's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, we certainly love ourselves. I mean, you got up this morning and you took care of yourself. Did you think about the welfare of your neighbor? Most of us got up and the first thing we could think of is, I've got to have some coffee. I know that was my thoughts. And so we take care of ourselves, and then if our neighbor, if we just happen to have time, maybe we'll consider them. But God says we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that we need. The Bible also gives another commandment, which a lot of people forsake, is not to forsake the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of such is, but even more so, as you see that day approaching. Well, that's a commandment from God too, and there's many others that are not in the list of the Ten Commandments. Well, all these are God's ways. All of His commandments, everything He says in His Word to do, those are God's ways. But yet we forsake God's ways. Sadly, we're far from them. We miss the mark badly. Take one look. Did anybody pull up the news today? If you pulled up the news, you would have found all kinds of horrible things in there. There was a point in my life where I quit looking at the news. It was so depressing. Everything that you see is just horrible, terrible. You see the wickedness, the evil, the sin that's going on in this country, in this world. If you was to look at it today, you would see that man is going his own way, and the results of it is sin and ultimately death. But God's ways are holy.
They're perfect. He says sin leads to death, but we say sin leads to satisfaction. We see something that we desire, we have a lust for it, we desire it, we look into it, and we fall into sin. Listen, you're not falling into sin. You are committing sin. I don't believe people just fall into it. I believe that people commit it, and you're willingly committing it, because of the wickedness in your heart. And so we say that it leads to satisfaction, but God says, no, it doesn't. It leads to death. Well, God's ways is reconciliation, but what do? Our way is to run from God. Have you ever been in sin and you know you're in sin and you're rebelling against God? And what's the first thing you want to do? You want to get away from anything godly. Don't turn on that Christian music. Don't get around me with a Bible. I don't want to see that. Church? And so when you're in sin, you want to avoid godly things. But God says there's reconciliation with Him. But we say, no, let's run. God's ways are to reach out to the poor, lost wanderer, the soul out there. But you know what our ways are? They're the ways of Judas, who sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. That's our way. You say, well, Brother Byron, I would never have done that. You might want to think about that. God's ways are mercy. What are our ways? Merciless. Merciless. We have very little mercy on people today. Somebody does something to you, something you don't like, something that is against the way you think, the first thing you do, you write them off. No mercy. They deserve what they got. And we look at people in the news that's committed crimes, we say, stick it to them. More people are concerned today about some man that abused an animal today than they are all these children that are being aborted in their mother's wombs. And so I would read a comments from these people saying this man needs to die. They ought to do the same thing to this man. There's no mercy in this life today. There's no mercy. Unless you're an animal, there's mercy in animals. Well, this morning in our Sunday school class, as I was mentioning, we studied through Genesis chapter 11. We looked at the first 9 verses, which deals with man being scattered. Approximately probably 100 years after the flood, man was still sinning against God, still rebelling. And so the first thing they did was they were so self-absorbed, they wanted to exalt themselves up into the heavens so that all the world could see them and look at them and pay attention to them. And so they were, more or less, as I mentioned today, they were shaking their fist in God's face. Look at what we can do. We can build bricks. We'll go and get the mud and the pitch and the slime and we'll build a brick and we'll build a big old tower and we'll reach all the way into heaven and everybody will see us and know who we are. That's man's ways. What did God do? God came down, the Bible said. The Lord came down and He saw what man was doing. And then He said, let us go, Jesus and Holy Spirit, let us go down there and let's confound their language. Otherwise, they're going to do whatever their wicked hearts imagine. And they will do it. So the inhabitants of that day and the earth, it seemed right for them to build a tower to be seen above all men, but not to God. His thoughts were not theirs, and His ways was not their ways. And they learned a hard lesson. Have you ever wondered what would become of us if God decided to just let us go on our own? What if God said, you know what? My hands are gone. That's it. I'm just leaving them alone and let them do whatever they want to do. What if God did that? And there's some people who believe that. Some people believe that God created man and then left them alone to do whatever they want to do. And there's no repercussions. There's nothing else. God just took His hands off of us and maybe went to some other place and created some other race somewhere else. There's some people who believe that. That's called deism. You'll find the church today, you may have heard of Unitarians. They have that belief. They have that belief, and everybody eventually will go to heaven. You know, they're not concerned about hell or anything like that. But, you know, we do whatever we want to do. God created us, and we just try to live a good life and all that stuff. Some people say that our forefathers, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, were deists. I don't believe they were deists in the truest sense of the form, because if you read the historical papers and the books they've written, they're talking constantly about our Creator. They're constantly talking about God and His provisions and the things that He does for us. But what would become of us if God just took His hands off of us and left us up to our own volition? What would become of us? The ends thereof are the way of death. If God just left us on our own, we would destroy ourselves from within. We would implode, friends. It's obvious if it was left up to us, then we would do everything unnatural to our ability that we could do until we would finally become extinct as a human race. And you think, well, how in the world would that happen? Were you not around when they passed the laws through Congress that two men could marry each other and two women could marry each other? How are they going to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth when they cannot do that? It's not physically possible. So if man is left up on their own, and you got two men together, two women together, nobody can have children and populate this earth. Eventually, over about 100 years, we would all be gone. Because the way thereof, man's ways, is the way of death. It leads to destruction. So it's obvious, if God left it up to us, then we would be destroyed. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, we've heard all the bad things. And we know that this is no secret. You all are adults here, most of you. You have a mind of your own. You understand these things. You know how man operates and how wickedness is and how holy God is. But yet we continue on seeming to think that we know the right way. So what do we do about it all? I mean, can we do anything? I mean, people have been preaching for the last 2,000 years this type of thing. What can be done? Well, we can find the answer in God's Word. Aren't you glad of that? Ecclesiastes 12:13. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You see that? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You see, if we would simply just be obedient to God's Word and what God says, all we got to do is fear Him and keep His commandments, and everything is going to work out on their own. Everything will take care of itself. If we fear God, if we have the proper fear of God, and I'm not talking about, oh, God's going to kill me, God's going to kill me. That's not the fear we're talking about. Our fear of God is our holy reverence to Him, understanding He is the Creator, the Sustainer of life. He holds your life in the palm of His hands, and He's a great and mighty God, and we fear Him as such. If we have that proper view of God, high, holy, exalted, lifted up, then all these other things will take care of themselves. You won't have that self-centeredness, that conceitedness. You won't have that way that seemeth right unto you. But you'll have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Which, by the way, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, of us having the mind of Christ. That is our goal. If you're saved today, if you're a Christian, your goal is to have the mind of Christ. Not your own way. Not your own thoughts. And the way that it seemeth right to me. But what about God? How's it seem to Him? I believe we know the answer. Listen, I want to ask you this morning. Are you living in a way that seemeth right unto you? But you're not happy. People that live in a way that seemeth right to them, they are not truly happy. They're always searching. There's always an emptiness. There's always a void inside of them because they're never satisfied. There's a hole in there and they can't seem to figure out how to fill that hole up. When our children were small, we had this little thing. I believe Tupperware sold it. It was a little ball. It was blue and red and had yellow blocks of different shapes. And you could take it and you'd pull it apart and let all the blocks out, put it back together, and then you'd get the shapes and you'd put them in the holes they go. People today have these holes inside of them. They can't figure out how to fill them up, don't know what to fill them up with, and so they fill them up with the garbage of this world, the sickness, the wickedness, the evilness of this world, and they try to fill it up with that. They think, I can fill up this emptiness, this void, if I just drink something. I'll drink myself to death. I can take a pill. I can take a shot. I can have this awful relationship with somebody that I shouldn't be having it with, and I can fill up that void, that hunger that's inside of me, but they'll never fill it up that way. They'll never fill that hole until they realize that the only thing that fits in that spot is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can take Him and they can fill in that void. And then they'll be satisfied. And they'll understand that my ways are not right. My ways are not the right way. My ways are leading to death. Oh, but thank God, the ways of God, the ways of Christ. If I could have the mind of Christ. Oh, and you know what Christ leads to? Christ leads to heaven. Christ leads to everlasting life, eternal life, to forgiveness of sins, to justification before God. That's what Christ leads to. That's what people need today. Instead of what seems right, it's what God says is right. As they come and get the invitation song, I want to ask you this morning, what way are you living in today? Is it your way? Are you Frank Sinatra today? I did it my way. Is that you today? That's the foolish way. That's the way that leads to death. It needs to be God's way. Have you truly repented of your sins and received Christ as your Savior? Do you have the mind of Christ today? Are you striving to get there, to have that mind that Christ has, to walk in His footsteps, to mimic Christ, to be what the term Christian really means, is to be a little Christ, an imitator of Jesus? Friends, that's what we need today. We need to be more like Christ. And as we stand this morning and we pray, as they play the song, if you have a need, if you need to come to the altar for any reason, whether it be for salvation, a backslidden condition, maybe something you're going through that you need help with, I'd love to pray with you. But let's bow our heads this morning, close our eyes, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We've preached all we can do this morning. God, thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, thank you for telling us how awful that we are and how much we need you. And God, if there's one here today that has a need, maybe they're living that life, God, that seemeth right unto them. But God, that way is going to lead them straight to hell. God, the ways of death, of sin, lead to hell. Lord, is there one today that needs help? Is there one that needs to be saved, God? Is there one backslidden, Lord, that needs to get back where they need to be, get their feet in the right path? Lord, would you lead them to this altar this morning? Let us help them. Let us pray with them. Is there one? Everybody's praying this morning. If you need help, let them play another verse and chorus. If you need help, you come to the altar.